Hey listeners, this is your host, Brother X. I've come to you guys before today's episode, and I wanted to just make sure I put the disclaimer out here. Nothing crazy happened in today's episode, but I want to make sure that it's clear that all views and opinions that are expressed in this week's discussion are of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or thoughts of the Truth and Transparency podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started with today's episode. To another episode of the Truth and Transparency podcast with your host, Brother X, and
what up, it's your girl, the culture scientist.
Why you sound like Etra from the Fly Girls?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Not all the time.
Yeah.
Well, where was this energy like 5 minutes ago?
Listen, it's showtime. This is, you know, I give you what I give you.
Man, I want some consistency.
You're giving it.
Hey! I ain't let you in the house yet. Hold on, you're not gonna do this. I will shut this whole episode down, Mrs. Smith. You know I will have you edited out. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
And here on the Truth and Transparency podcast, we talk openly, honestly about everything in between. Why people can't get right. Why everybody got secrets. Why people can't keep their stuff in the background off. Why everybody eating granola and everything else, quinoa. Why people are hanging out at the illustrious Hampton University, and why people are wearing satin do-rags and hitting their mics. Okay, I'm sorry. Good folks again. But yes, thank you all for listening, for all your support. We're over 2,000 plays across all 7 podcasting platforms. Continue to run those numbers up. We appreciate all the feedback and support. Shout out to some of my coworkers from Box Lunch. You guys started following the podcast, so shout out to you. We're growing, getting more and more listeners every day, so I'm very appreciative of it, and just thank you guys. So before I get into my quick spiel, I want to make sure I introduce our guest. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let one of them wait because they still got quinoa on their breath.
She got granola, not quinoa.
I mean, they distant cousins.
Listen, mm-hmm. One is two different things.
How? They're both grains.
Listen, they taste differently, different in texture. One's nasty, one is good.
They're both the same. They have the same texture. Listen, I hate both.
No, then one is nasty.
All right, moving on. So the Stepstool Tycoon.
I like that one.
You know what? I'm in it early. Queen C, introduce yourself. That's all I got.
That's a good one, though, sis.
Yeah, that was a good one hit a quitter. I'm back again, y'all. I don't know. I guess I did good last time. They let me back in. I ain't got too much to say. Just by the time this comes out, I know it'll be close to my nephew's birthday. So shout out to the oldest nephew, getting ready to turn a sweet and golden 16. Ooh. Yeah, wait, golden 16? Birthday. Yeah, oh, buddy, about to be 16 on the 16th.
Nah, she still got Similac on her breath. Don't do that.
It's the nephew, not the niece.
Oh, I'm sorry. Carry on.
Gosh.
Of course. All right, and now that she's finished her her meal, the connoisseur of, you know what? That'd be rude. I might get in trouble. Nurse Shore, introduce yourself.
You could have called
first
her
of all,
like, phenomenon, because I feel
like
she could take
care. No, you gotta understand where my mind went. I was like, nope, no. Okay, nope. Hey, can't get in trouble with work, so I kept it.
Call her the queen of quinoa.
The queen of quinoa.
Quinoa? I don't know.
Well, actually, there was quinoa in the granola, but it was actually really good. It was really good.
Told you. Carry on. Go ahead,
but they made real sweet to you. But hi guys, this is Nurse Joy, the connoisseur of nature's relief. Yeah, nature's relief that everybody needs to release themselves, to take part in the spiritual wonders of the world. Come to me.
Mrs. Smith, go ahead and get the time set ready. We ain't even 5 minutes into the episode. And you wonder why I don't have you on the show sometime.
Hey, don't come for my sis.
There's reasons why I don't let y'all both be on the podcast at the same time sometimes.
Listen, you are the one that's instigating right
I
now.
Am not. Listen. I am making sure the quality of this said podcast is held to a high standard.
What shout quality?
For introductions.
Wait, whoa there. Oh, all right. So we're just going to forget about Doug Dimmadome over there. The man with 1,000 satin do-rags. The man who ain't seen a blue crab that he didn't like. My man cracks crabs with his bare mouth. My man got a smile better than my shiny teeth than me. Dark winged duck.
That sounded nasty, like 3 months back, but continue.
You gonna mess up the fuck. I'm getting these shots up. You gonna
introduce yourself.
Why did it turn into a probate? I don't appreciate that.
Because we go in there slowly.
Wait, hold on. I'm not done. We got Fables Goes West, 103, part 57.
I tried.
Mrs. Smith, introduce yourself.
You just want to let me have it?
No.
Yes, Coach of Scientists, I am. Anywho. anywho, it's your favorite fed. Mr. Smith, also known as Mr.
He's on fire.
And I want to thank all the listeners for the plays, the comments. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get myself together because these two had me dying. Plays, the comments, the listens, keep feeding us. We're going to keep feeding y'all. And just a small point, Andrew Yang, don't defend your homeboy like that. Brother X gonna talk about it a little bit more, but I just had to say, Andrew Yang, you on my shit list. Secondly, Nelly and Lil Fizz, brother, what was the point?
It's not even worth talking about.
Exactly. That's what's,
No.
They two Queen halves C, of no. a half.
Queen C, no. No. You wrong. See, this is why.
Nigga shit look like mushrooms from Mario.
We're going to move on to my first initial thoughts. So we're just going to move on. Yes. So we're still in Black History Month, and I need white supremacists and other people to chill. So whoever is sending in additional outside of the first initial one, bomb threats to Spelman University, I'm gonna need you to chill the fuck out. Cause shit's not cool, it's not funny, it never was funny. You have people having to go into shelter orders, I think is the term it is, but excuse me if it's not. But that's just not cool, it's not funny, and you're trying to dog whistle something. And you wouldn't say it in their face, so just go on somewhere. Next, I'm gonna talk about some trash. Joe Rogan, yes, you have a deal with Spotify for your podcast. But if I cared enough about you as a person, I would go into how trash of a person you are from your use of the N-word with the hard R, as well as you sending misleading information about a certain pandemic and what is helping us hopefully get out of it. But for you to continue to have all this stuff, like, you just big trash. And that's all I really want to say on it. Mr. Smith?
Just real quick. The platform is stupid as it is because the episodes are like 4 hours. I don't know anybody that got the attention span to want to listen to the whole shit for 4 hours, just number one. But then also, I didn't realize, like, in the context that, you know, the N-word sounded bad the way you heard it. Nigga, you are not a nigga. So anytime you use that context, it's bad context. Just stop. You got your 100 million. Shut the fuck up.
Like, lest we forget that my man said a while back that he said he went to a movie theater in Philadelphia and basically he said there was no white person in sight. And he said he entered the Planet of the Apes, which was the movie that they were seeing, and called the people in the theater the Planet of the Apes. Joe Rogan, you just trash. This might be a segment from now on, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Coach of Scientists, can you bring us back to life with some of the things that you are streaming?
So we're going back to Black History Month. Okay, we're going back to Black History Month. Oh, we're going back to Black History. We're going back to Black History. We're going back to Black History Month.
Mrs. Smith?
I'm so sorry.
No, Mrs. Smith, get ready. You know you're going to have to cut and use that for later episodes, right?
That's fine. I don't care. So in honor of that, from our streaming, I would like to talk about one of the shows that we're going to talk about a little bit later, but I also like, I haven't watched recently, but I was very hooked when it first came out, and that show is called Black-ish. And basically, this is Dre Johnson has it all, a great job, a beautiful wife, Rainbow, four kids and a big home in a classy neighborhood. But as a Black man, he begins to question whether all his success has brought him too much assimilation for his family. With the help of his father, Dre begins to create a sense of ethnic identity for members of his family that allow them to honor their background while preparing them to embrace their future. Now listen, this show, personally, I think is a great show. They touch on very important moments that we go through as culture. And for me, which I'll talk and hold on a little bit later again, is this relate, I can relate to this kind of more on a personal level, like in the level of living, like class-wise. Mm-hmm. And just understanding like where does my Blackness fit in, or where do I find my Blackness, and like I felt like this show was very relatable.
Okay.
And you can kind of find yourself hopefully in one of the children,
okay,
or one of the parents. And it was cool for me to see Tracy Ellis Ross playing Rainbow, you know, as a doctor. And but yeah, I just like seeing her. So yeah, go check that out. You can go watch that on ABC and Hulu and things like that. The other show I have for you is called Harlem, okay? Harlem is on Amazon Prime, and this is from writer Tracy Oliver, who wrote Girls Trip, a new comedy following a group of stylish and ambitious girlfriends in Harlem, NYC. A rising star professor struggling to make space for her love life, a savvy tech entrepreneur dating someone new, a no-filter singer, and a hopeless romantic fashion designer. Together, they level up into the next phase of their careers, relationships, and big city dreams. So basically, take girlfriends, right? But add a little bit of updatedness, mm-hmm, and put it in New York, and add like, think of like a Sex in the City, but for the Black girl version. That is how I see it. It is, you know, a pretty cool show. It has Megan Good starring as one of the main characters. One of the main is a lead lesbian, and that's cool. She's great. She leads like some magazine. She's awesome. Yeah, so go check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. And this was your, you know, segment, What is the Culture? So Culture Scientist Streaming.
Edit in the music later. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into our next segment of the podcast, which is called Now Mind You. In every Black conversation, there is a point where they say, now mind you, which is a pivotal point where they're willing to provide a key point or interesting fact that's going to grab your attention. Now, and why are you sharing this on national television news? Mrs. Smith, you got a clip for us. Go ahead and play that. Is this a
It sounds like you're scrubbing vigorously.
I am.
That's good.
I just let the world know that I took a shit in my bed.
What?
I just let the world know I just took a shit in my bed.
No, you didn't.
I did. I had to clean it up. Why in the world?
Did Todrick hear you?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, listeners, if you did not hear that correctly, Lamar Odom, former NBA champion, Los Angeles Laker, Miami Heat player, multiple-time All-NBA player, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Smith, he's on Celebrity Big Brother, where he is in said shower talking to one of the castmates, and he decides to share some information. Culture scientist, do you mind reading what the caption of this article is?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Lamar is coming all the way clean. He says it was actually a shark. It was just written real fast. I'm sorry. Okay. L.O. says he suffers from lactose intolerance.
Lamar Odom.
I know. I just wanted to read it how it was written.
You are really Ron Burgundy. I just really need you to understand you will read anything that is on the prompter. Can I continue?
That's a part of my charm. Hello, says he suffers from lactose intolerance and IBS, which did not pair well with his late night snack of beef jerky sticks, candy, and warm milk.
Pause. Mrs. Smith, you know what that makes me think of?
I said, bitch, what the fuck are you, 7? Who the fuck falls for that?
That is, shout out to Hot Damn I Rock, because you express how I feel. Sir, you have the appetite of a 5-year-old on a Friday night. Coach of Scientists, continue.
Okay. I eat like a child. I know I eat like a child. I admit this. I also know I have issues with some digestive things. So I have to pick and choose when you eat like a child. Why would you do that at nighttime?
First and foremost, why are you telling people about it?
Why would you do that in a group house?
Why would you do it in your own house?
Because it's your own house.
My nigga, when is sharding on the bed a good thing?
On a serious note.
Yes.
Is he okay? Like, what's going on with him? Because I'm not trying to be funny.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, Kanye was a little woo-woo.
A little.
Shut up. Before he, you know, met the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be a huge fan of Khloé before all of this.
She morphed into a new person?
Yeah, I don't know what. Like, I feel like her personality still might be kind of the same, but her body is, yeah, it looks, I'm not as much of a fan no more.
She so picked Courtney, up pieces from Toys R Us.
So Courtney is now in the running as number one. Because Kim will never be number one. Anyway.
Even though she's dating Pete Davis.
Listen, I don't care. Listen. But every person that kind of, every man that kind of comes in contact with this group of ladies
mm-hmm.
or family
mm-hmm.
in general,
uh-huh.
something always weird happens.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to know, how is he doing in general?
I believe he's well. He did have a stint where he was going through some drug issues, but he seemed to be on the uptick. But yeah, dog, this is a no for me, dog. Guess, do you have any thoughts? Let me go ahead, Queen Sue.
Okay, so first off, I have issues with this. I've been watching Celebrity Big Brother, and it's pretty good. The celebs are actually fighting like, you know, normal people in the house would. It's just a shorter time frame, but it's a lot of drama. It's a lot of, you know, different dynamics to it. It's been good. The thing is, Lamar Odom, you are a grown ass, 6'10" man. You know you're lactose intolerant. Why in the fuck are you drinking warm milk in a house with 10 other people, sharting yourself? When these cameras run 24/7, you know that means millions of Americans watched you shart yourself on a live feed.
This is one of the, like, in general, this is not why, uh-huh. but like, I think about, oh my goodness, I want to be famous. No.
I want to think about shit like this.
I
want to
be friends with a famous person, and I want to be wealthy so I can enjoy their fame without having to have all the limelight, so that, because like you said, you are like a famous person that people, you know, like to know stuff about. This is something, you're a grown-ass man, sir.
You know,
not
what,
only that, his bed is custom made for him because he's so tall. You just shit up a custom made bed.
Like, sir,
you just
fucked up the 800 thread count. What you doing, Mrs. Smith?
You know that shit, because that's a big man. That's a big man.
Lactose intolerant and you drank milk? That's what I'm saying. Lactose intolerant and you drank warm milk.
And candy.
You know, like, the worst part about it is, I know it had to be a wet fart. Guaranteed that she smelled and sounded gross as hell. Listeners, if you don't know what a wet fart is, you're not in the trenches. You just don't know.
You have irritable bowel syndrome. Irritable bowel syndrome. And you ate beef jerky sticks. Beef jerky sticks and candy.
Like, my nigga made a run to the 7-Eleven and was like, yeah, let me get all this shit.
In a house full people.
And we as a Black delegation do not appreciate this because you're making us look bad. Mrs. Smith, carry on.
In a custom house bed.
So, one, to Queen C's joke, as well as to your joke, Brother X. Like, seriously, you're going to say out of nowhere, oh, I don't want to be a celebrity. Oh, you want to deal with that shit? Really? Like, I'm not going to catch that shit? All right, whatever. Anywho, secondly, you guys have said it best. You have you're lactose intolerant. Why the fuck are you drinking milk? Why? Just why? Second, and then of course, okay. Again, as I have stated probably 1,000 times at this point, we don't need to know. We don't need to see it. I could have went the rest of my life not knowing that shit. You know what I'm saying? So why? just can we actually function like normal human beings and do normal shit? Just saying.
Nah, because we famous over here.
Quincy, go ahead.
Okay, at one final point, because I've been binge watching Big Brother. They are locked in that house. They cannot leave unless they request to actually be removed from the show or they get evicted by how the game works. That means a producer or a showrunner had to go and get him the Slim Jim and the milk.
So they knew they was doing. They said that man up for failure.
Oh no, for real. Past one of my streaming. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna have to find the show and tell y'all. But it's basically about running a real show, like a reality show. Mm. And what they do behind the scenes, man, I was just like, y'all crazy.
Dog, I used to watch behind the scenes for like the show The Real World on MTV. Crazy. Like that, the stuff that they talk about and what I've read in articles, it is ridiculous.
I got shows to talk about for those. God.
We're going to have an episode about reality shows.
Nurse Jackie is one.
Oh, God. All right. But what I really want to say is just, like, this is giving me, when Lamar Odom was a young boy, when he was probably like 5'10", when he was like 5 years old, he was probably that little boy or big boy that took his dirty drawers that he shat in and put them at the bottom of the basket so his mom wouldn't find out. So when his mama saw them, it was like, Lamar, bring your shitty ass in here so I can talk to you.
Speaking of all Lamar's names, people named Lamar a bad name. And I have two people named Lamar in my life.
Please, I really hope so. I hope they're not like Lamar Odom.
They not.
They better not be. But we're just going to go ahead and move on. All in all, that was just a shitty situation. All right. We're actually going to move on. So, why are you doing this during Black History Month news? If you want to be part of the Divine Nine, just ask. Mrs. Smith, play the clip.
Sorority at Southern Connecticut State University is now suspended after a video that showed its members appearing to mock a historically Black sorority on campus.
NBC Connect's Leslie Mays has the very latest from New Haven.
And it happened all like right before Black History Month, which is more upsetting because like this is when you should be honoring those people and those organizations.
On the first day of Black History Month, students at Southern Connecticut State University are reacting to what many believe is an unfortunate display of insensitivity by one sorority against another. In the last few days, a video appearing to show members of Omega Zeta Pi mocking the hand signals and gestures of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated has surfaced online and been posted across social media. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority was founded at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and is a member organization in the Divine Nine, the nine historically African-American sororities and fraternities.
Being in Greek life, you obviously learn about the history of D9 and what the significance is to the Black community and, like, the history behind it. So to do something like that is really disrespectful.
Upset students and campus leaders say that display is a direct insult to the storied Black women's organization, and members of all sororities and fraternities should know better.
It was just like very offensive to see that another sorority would mock the values and traditions that other sorority had.
Late today, the university released a statement saying that Omega Zeta Pi's Southern chapter is suspended immediately, pending an investigation by an independent party. It's something members of Zeta Phi Beta called for when the video surfaced, and other students on campus say they support.
That means they all have to take some time to reflect. So definitely reflection is an important thing.
University President Joe Bertolino saying in a statement, quote, I have the greatest respect for Zeta Phi Beta Incorporated's heritage and traditions, and am deeply concerned about the pain that this incident has caused to their membership and that of other multicultural Greek organizations, as well as individuals of color across our campus community. I hope that the concrete steps taken by my administration will advance the immediate and systemic changes needed to better support and protect students of color on our campus and rebuild the lines of trust within our diverse community. In New Haven, Leslie Mays, NBC Connecticut News.
All right, so listeners, there's a lot to unpack from that situation. Before we go to our resident on the scene, Zeta, we're going to go ahead and get these jokes off. You had the unmitigated gall, the audacity, the nerve-dacity. To come up on Beyonce's Twitterverse and insult the finer ladies and women of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And you wanted to pose, ma'am, like, I need you to go all the fuck away. Have a fucking stadium of seats. Like, why? Like, what? First and foremost, if you're gonna do some dumb shit, why are you recording? Secondly, why are you putting it on social media? Thirdly, if you're gonna do the shit right. Because let me make something very clear. This is me personally. There have been videos and situations where Non-Divine Nine and other Greek organizations have come together peacefully and have had, I don't know what the name of the show is where, but like I have seen, they swap and like, it's a cultural exchange of different things within their fraternities and sororities. Like I've seen, there's been some good ones.
Shout out to AKAs at Shaw University who played the Q's my senior year. No, they did bomb.com.
Like there's some non-divine people that you got control and do other movements better than the Divine Nine, but we're not gonna talk about that right now. But what made you think you was just gonna get away with this? Like not during Black History Month, why didn't you think they were just gonna run up on you? What you think was gonna happen? Nurse Joy, do you have any thoughts?
No, it just sounds like some regular white people shit that they would do, just knowing that they would get away with it. When will they ever, I mean, regardless, especially where I'm at right now, which is a predominantly UV, well, you know what? I'm at a place.
And this is why I don't say certain things.
I'm at a place and not one time has any of those white folk mentioned not a damn thing about Black History Month. They made an announcement, it's the month of February. Nothing. Somebody said it's Black History Month. Oh, okay. Well, guys, we have donuts in the break room. They don't give a fuck about us. They don't give not one damn. And I'm not surprised by the actions about this, especially with them. They probably think they're superior to Zeta Phi Beta. And that's what I get out of that.
Coach of Scientists, go ahead and step on the soapbox real quick.
All I was going to say was, in general, I'm very proud of the school. In general, the school said, nah. Listen.
You not about to get us fucked up in your fucking.
We.
do not
support this. They learned. They said, nah. We're not going to get in trouble. We're not going to mess with the Black people, especially not during Black History Month.
Of all the months. Listen, and you in Connecticut?
Listen.
New Haven at that?
They know. They knew what to do. And the school said goodbye very quickly.
We're going to get you out the paint real quick.
We support you. Oh, what side are we on? There.
When you two, they're going to kick you out like you was too drunk at a party.
And people put in work And just like for your little sorority that whenever you are a part of, and I'm gonna call it little because you clearly don't respect your rules and your regulations and the things that you had to do to join your organization because you're sitting here mocking. You can quote unquote mock somebody without actually throwing up somebody's sign or making their call, okay?
Hell, we see it at probates all the time. Like, it's jokes. It's like we can joke about each other's HBCUs because we're part of the HBCU family. But if you're not a part of it, you're going to get these verbal hands. Mr. Smith.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Go ahead. So, go ahead and get your jokes off.
Yeah. So I'm going to make my, I'm not going to take too long because I already see Queen Cedar loaded both 50 caliber Desert Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be fun.
And she got the nice little assault rifle, the AR-15s for these white folks. So she ready, but
wait, hold on. She up ready like old boy from Training Day. I'm surgical. Wow.
How you want it? Closed casket, dog? Open casket? That little nigga in the wheelchair? How you think he got there? So listeners, one, I want you to actually hear the actual video because the news clip just talked about it, but I want you to just hear how they're disrespecting Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So, okay, you probably didn't take a lot from all that yelling, but they're doing the call of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And to that, I have to say, I have to really go and say, so like, again, number one, why'd you report it? Start there. Number two, why is your unseasoned Mrs. Dash having ass doing shit that you know you're not gonna look good at? And one still of the clip, the girl is doing the, now again, I'm going to make sure I say this somewhat correctly because I am not a part of the D9, but I'm going to call it the hold. I don't know what it is the actual term for it, but I'm just going to say the hold. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so, the Russian judge will allow it. Carry on.
Okay. So she's doing the hold. And when I tell you that was the most unseasoned shit I've ever seen in my life, it looked like somebody put some kosher salt and some mayonnaise and just said, yeah, this is the seasoning right here. Ma'am, you didn't go through the struggle. You didn't cross those burning sands. Why are you mimicking them? Why are you doing their calls? Why are you doing their strolls? Why are you doing that? That's not you. You guys have come from a privileged area to where, oh, my daddy pays for my scholarships and whatever, or my tuition, and I don't have to worry about it. And I'm pretty sure they got lawyers that's gonna make sure they get in the good, fine job situations. But you better be lucky that the organization is that non-hazing organization.
Talk about
because it. I would not be shocked if they ran up on y'all and did y'all like Denzel on Training Day, where that nigga got laid the fuck out by the Russians. So that's all I'm gonna say because I see Queen Cedar got the sniper rifle ready. So I'm gonna just, you know, pass the ball.
You know, switch from like five different guns. Like, calm down, Jamal. Without further ado, we'd like to go to our resident, unbothered but annoyed, Zeta. Queen Cedar, the floor is yours.
Hey, thank you, my fraternity brother. Now I just, whew, woosa. Usa. So the first thing I want to just make a note of to the announcers who did the story, you know, you did it beautifully, but in the future, if you ever do a story about my sorority again, please pronounce my T. It is Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
That's a lot of T's.
And get all of them in there. It's not Zeta. There's no D. It is Zeta, pronounce my T. Thank you. Now, going to Patty Mayonnaise and her friends. So what we're not going to do on Cheryl Underwood's internet, what we're not going to do on Selena Johnson's internet, what we're not going to do on Janelle Monae's internet, what we're not going to do on Grand Val's internet, is play with my sorority. That's what we not gonna do.
you want to call yourself doing a one leg pose, hold it, hold it. You built like chopsticks, your knees shaking like a 6.5 magnitude earthquake. Sit your weak built body having ass down. First off. Secondly, go ahead, sir.
No. Hey, I'm trying to get out the way. It's all you.
That was number one.
I'm about to say, no, you got more in the clip?
Oh, of course.
Oh, carry on then.
Secondly, how dare you do my call and do it as weak as you did? Let me tell y'all something. It took me 10 years to earn the right to do that call. You just out here throwing Z5s like nobody business. Out here passing it out like dollar bills at stadium. No.
Shut up.
Hey, John. I'm so serious, sir. This shit pissed me the fuck off. Because y'all have so much privilege. The only thing you did by joining your sorority was expand your network. That's all you did. You don't do anything else but sit on your privileged ass and wait for daddy's money to pay for you to do something. My sorority works. We work for our community on behalf of our community.
Talk about
we gets it done. As does every other organization in the Divine Nine. Don't bring this shit to my doorstep. You better be lucky I'm a finer woman, because otherwise I kick your asses. All seven of these Karens, Beckys, whatever you want to call them. I don't care. I don't know their name. I don't want to know their name. Just know that while your daddy and your mama got all that money, my sorority is also a business with money. And we like to sue.
Don't worry, it's coming in the mail.
Wait on that subpoena, baby. It's coming. All right. I'll see you in court.
So, Queen C, I just have to ask. So, did you empty out both Desert Eagles and the sniper rifle, or did you go for the assault rifle first and then come back for the snake?
I think I still got more in the chamber, but I know we got a time limit. So, I'm going to say this. I'm going to pray for their peace. And whenever they show up back on campus, I'm going to wish them the best of luck. But I might just show up with.
Lord. All right, we're just going to go ahead and move on. Ms. Smith might want to go ahead and put a bleep over that last part. All right. So, listeners, now that we have gotten all the debauchery and the buffoonery out the way, we actually want to go ahead and get into our Black business highlight. And this week's Black business highlight is Melanated Wines. It is a Black-owned wine business located out of Durham, North Carolina, if I believe I have that correct. And it's Black owned, I want to say it's Black woman owned, correct? Anybody can confirm that?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay, thank you, Nurse Joy. And with them, they decided they have their phrase or the catchphrase is that they wanted to uncoat the culture in regards to wine and kind of break that barrier, because as we millennials, if nothing else, we enjoy a finer wine or a good drink. But it's hard to get into finding out what's a high quality wine, as well as understanding what are the different types of wine, what is the quality, how to truly enjoy it, what do you pair with a certain wine, what wine goes well with the steak, what wine goes well with a charcuterie board. Ooh, I said that on the first try. I am doing well on words today.
Good job, baby.
I appreciate myself. All right. So shout out to Melanated Wine. We do actually have someone on the podcast today that actually is a customer of theirs. Nurse Joy, would you like to share?
Yeah, I actually, I am a wholehearted fan of Melanated Wine. I've been to a couple of their events. I first got introduced to them through a Black Brewing Festival where they had a little booth set up in the back. And, I was just checking them out. I said, Black people behind the booth. Let me see what their wine tasting is about. And their wine hits. They have a red, a sangria, and a Riesling, but the fan favorite is a sangria. Taco fan, whatever you may need, you want to just kick back and have a little drink after work, get a sangria. I will say they do host, they try to reach out to the community quite a bit. So they do have an Instagram page. They do host a lot of wine tastings, Fridays, Saturdays. I think sometimes Sundays and even on the holidays, they look out for any and everybody. If you don't have anywhere to go, go have a wine tasting, have your charcuterie board, and then you'll be good to go. They also, the last event that I went to was around Halloween time, and they had a bomb-ass costume party, and it was lit with tastings galore. And for Valentine's Day coming up, for the singles and the couples out there, they are having a Valentine's Day night with a poet that is well-known in the area, a violinist, and they are having hibachi. So all you can drink samples, hibachi, and just a great time with good energy.
Again, that is Melanated Wines. Check them out on Instagram and on their website at melanatedwine.com. Melanated Wine on Instagram, and their information will be in the show notes. Please check them out. So at the time of this recording, if you have went to their event, let them know that the Truth and Transparency podcast sent you. I don't think we got any discounts with them. Do we have any discounts with them?
No, not yet, but you know.
But just something that you sent that we sent you. They probably have no idea who we are yet. But we're going to try to hope to get them on the podcast one day if we get big enough. Pray on it. All right. So we're actually going to go ahead and move on into this week's topic. We are continuing on with our part two of For the Culture series, talking Black History Month about different Black sitcoms and TV shows that were for the culture and that are very iconic. This week, we chose to focus on the Black family dynamic in television shows. Yes.
Why?
All right. I thought I was doing good. You
doing real great, baby.
You know my self-esteem be low sometimes,
baby,
man.
Don't,
you gotta coach me up sometimes.
I'm so grateful you pay attention to me, but right now keep going.
See, it be your own people. I can't even get through the introduction of the topic. Don't blow kisses at me right now. I don't know. They're hitting the wall right now. We're gonna move on. All right, so with this focus on Black family TV shows, we actually want to take some time to highlight three in particular with a honorable mention. So the three shows that we wanted to focus on in regards to Black family TV shows and why they're for the culture was, first and foremost, the OG, The Cosby Show. We also have a current show, which is Blackish, which the culture scientist wonderfully highlighted in her streaming section of the podcast, as well as a favorite that's kind of like in the middle between them, timeline-wise, which was Everybody Hates Chris. And for our honorable mention, we want to just make sure that we highlight the first three seasons of Family Matters before it became the Urkel Show. Mr. Smith, go ahead.
I just want to make sure for listeners, if you know, you know. We're highlighting up to the point where old girl walked up the stairs and didn't come back down. That back. Is that type of Family Matters, not the Family Matters where it was the Steve Urkel Show. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, we just got to make sure we clarify that. So as we kind of talk about these shows, we want to first talk about what to you is essential to a Black family TV show, whether it be in the past or currently. Mrs. Smith, go ahead.
So to me, it's good to have a family in which everyone is a little bit different. There are certain times in Hollywood where they just kind of portray Black people in like a certain light where it's always like Black trauma or like, oh, this person rose from the ghetto and he was dealing drugs. So when you look at a show like The Cosby Show, you have, you know, two very well, wealthy. Yeah, they lived in New York. Two very wealthy parents that had structure with the kids. Obviously, Cliff was a doctor. And correct me if I'm wrong, was Claire one too? Or was she?
Claire was a lawyer.
Yeah. Lawyer, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. So, you know, two very high paying professions and their discipline were different for each child. So obviously, Lisa Bonet was the rebellious one. Then Malcolm Jamal Warner was the jock, hunk, whatever, that, you know, if you want to go to college. Rudy was the troublemaker and then ended up becoming, you know, Raven Simone being the cute troublemaker. But their parenting styles were different for each one. So it showed the dynamic of, hey, if you get this child, this is kind of a way you can do it, but it's not going to transfer to each individual child. So the children being different is definitely a essential piece for a Black family show.
Okay, culture scientist.
I want to piggyback off of what he said because, like, back then you had what Leave It to Beaver. You had all these like white family heteronormative shows that you learn lessons and you saw what these parents were doing. I know Leave It to Beaver was just, I use that as an example.
Oh, no. I mean, you had stuff like The Wonder Years.
Yeah, all of those different types of family shows.
Seventh Heaven, stuff like that, yeah.
Right. But now, oh, look, you have this Black family. And then what he emphasized was, oh, this is a, for me, I'm going to say middle class, but you're right. For New York, that was expensive. Like, that was money. Mm-hmm. So, but let's say middle class to wealthy enough.
Right.
Family dealing with the, you know, dealing with having these different types of children. And for me, although, you know, that's considered an old show, but when we're watching it, it's still related to my family upbringing. And there's like, there's four of us. We're completely different types of children. My parents have these two different types of careers, and how they all make it work is right. really kind of interesting. And The Cosby Show did a great job at doing that. And then Black-ish also does the same thing. They kind of got that same concept, I think, from there. And then Everybody Hates Chris, I mean, it's the same concept, but just at a different socioeconomic level. And then, I mean, those are like the epitome. And I think Family Matters is a decent size, like fits in the middle family class. But all of them along the lines is, oh, you know, this is different. This is how we can raise our children. It's, you're seeing different parenting styles.
I want to let anyone else go before I share my piece. Nurse Joy or Quincy, did you have something to add on?
I think y'all nailed it on the spot, pretty much. I mean, when it comes to all the variety in the children you had in The Cosby Show, which is will ever be my favorite, besides all the bullshit with Bill Cosby. That ain't got nothing to do with him.
We ain't
got
to talk about it.
But it seemed like even with Sanja, the oldest, she attempted to go on the right path, and then she met Elvin. And then Elvin was, you know, the man that she brought home to the parents. And of course, Cliff's gonna give him a hard time. Claire's gonna love him, but then try to put in line his thoughts about the man and the woman and the woman's place at the home and how she should have everything ready for Cliff. Yeah, that's a whole nother story itself. But I loved it. I loved the variety, and I loved how it gave somebody, each character has somebody that I could relate to. So
Quincy, then Mr. Smith.
Yeah, y'all pretty much hit all the nails on the head for The Cosby Show, especially with this really being like the first time you really saw a Black family like that, because before then we had what, Sanford and Son and the Jeffersons and things like that. And those dealt with older parents with adult children. You didn't see the children grow up. They were already grown on their own. Mm-hmm. So this definitely brought a new dynamic to Black television. The only other thing is we know Vanessa went and had herself a good time with the rent. Had big fun with the wretched. In Baltimore. Classic.
Mrs. Smith, go ahead.
Just wanted to do one tag on to Nurse Joy's point. That Claire scene, listeners, if you want to hear it, it is in our Blackity Black episode from last February. Listen to it. It is the ending where she read Elvin for filth. And said, she said, I'm not gonna get Dr. Huswell some coffee. I'm gonna bring him some coffee, just like he brought me some coffee this morning. And it's give and take. I'm like, oh. at a certain point, I'm watching the show going, I'm about to be in trouble. Do I need to wash the dishes, Mom? Like, what do we need to do?
I'm about to say, he was not fighting in his weight class at all. But we're not talking about that.
That was one of the best scenes ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one thing you can say about the classic or what makes a show iconic is things you can remember from that show. No matter what is going on currently with Bill Cosby, let's just talk about the show. And yes, I am saying at this current moment, let's separate the man from the show. Now, I understand the difficulty in that, But like the show has iconic moments that you remember. Mm. Like the fact that Mr. Smith gets giddy every time he thinks about that part. It's hilarious. Mm. Like everybody knows, oh, you want to have big fun in Baltimore. Everybody knows that.
Like without going too much more into the cop show, because there's some more I want to kind of get into with that show. I think for me, what I find as like the essential to these type of shows is what I think a lot of iconic Black shows have is representation. We talk often and always about that Black people aren't a monolith, and we want representation, and that doesn't necessarily just mean that we're the face of the show, but within that there's sub pockets of people, like y'all said, with socioeconomic issues or things that they have going on. But I think what made these shows resonate is that as our generation, as millennials, there are times where we grew up with television. There was obviously television before us, but the television boom happened, at least for our lifetime, in the 90s, going into the early and late 2000s, where we saw shows and we looked at them. And in some cases, for those who didn't have the stereotypical or a particular type of family dynamic at home, all they had to understand what a Black family was were these shows. And even within these shows, we have variety where it's like, this is one, whereas you have a upper class and to a degree, the Cosby Show. And you look at Everybody Hates Chris, where it's like a less economic level or lower, and their struggles and how, even within that, they're able to teach and instill these values into their kids in different ways. And Black is, I think, is a jump forward to take what they've built on, and they stand on the shoulders of these previous shows because they understand the importance that people need to see these things to grow. So moving on to, like, we kind of talked about some of the with these shows, but I think let's kind of move into, like, what do you think really makes them iconic based on, like, what you've seen? Like, I know for me, the reason why I put Everybody Hates Chris on this was, and Mrs. Smith, you know this, Culture Scientist, you know this, Queen C, you know this. I don't know if I said it around Nurse Joy, but to this day, I will quote the father from Everybody Hates Chris when it comes to people leaving drinks or wasting food. Like, I will literally say, dog, you got like 36 cents left in that margarita. You better drink that. And that is a direct connection to that show because it resonated in my head, because one of the lessons that I was taught by my parents growing up was financial literacy and understanding the importance of managing your money and to not waste anything, because we knew in the Black family, you don't waste nothing. Whether it's going back to the slavery days where they use every part of the pig, we had to make better with what we had in order to survive. And that has transformed and morphed over time to the point where it's like, this is what we do now in other facets, whether it's past hand-me-downs or it's leftovers or it's cooking large meals that you have to eat multiple days. These are things that we can resonate with, just like in last week's episode.
For me, mm-hmm. what makes it iconic is, like you said, representation.
Right.
I said before in previous episodes that it's not that I didn't have a Black family, like, or Black likeness growing up or Black culture growing up. I had trust. Now that I'm an adult, I said, oh, whoa, okay. But like, I didn't really think that I did. Like, mm-hmm. I thought I had to seek out this Black culture.
Right.
And these TV shows allowed me to have a glimpse into other people that may be like me or other people that were different from me. And it was very nice in that manner. So like, I was able to relate and maybe understand a little bit better. Like, hence why I wanted to go to a historically Black college. But, you know.
That's another time for another episode.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
It played a huge role.
So, for me, I'm going to say that what made them iconic is certain shows usually will do the cookie cutter, what works, the comedic sketches, all that good stuff. But these shows, a good portion of them, or at least two of them in particular, were willing to go and talk about the stuff that a lot of people are always scared to talk about. And I'm talking about Blackish, and I'm talking about Family Matters. There are two episodes that stick out. I'll start with Family Matters, since that's the older one. When Eddie got pulled over in a neighborhood that was not Black, and he went to his dad and said, they only pulled me over because I was black, and the dad didn't believe, you know, I'm blanking on the husband's name.
It's Carl Winslow.
Thank
Carl
you. Winslow. I was like, for some reason, I want to say Harold. I'm like, that's not Harold. Carl. Carl didn't believe him at first, so obviously Eddie was hurt, and then Carl ended up looking into it and realized that that whole division was racist, or not the division, but the person had a track record for doing it. So they actually called that out. They did that several times throughout the seasons. And then for Black-ish, when they talked about Donald Trump getting elected and that whole monologue where Anthony Anderson was like, "You think I don't love my country? I love it. I love just as much, if not more. And don't you ever bring it up again." And then when he brought up the history, I'm sure the thing is they are willing to bring up the conversations that are uncomfortable. In today's age, that's usually kind of like the go-to where it's like, hey, we need to have a conversation. If you look at the NFL right now, right, where they're talking about the Rooney Rule and how black coaches aren't getting enough. Every newscaster you'll say is, if it doesn't do anything else, it starts a conversation. Listeners, back in those days, there wasn't that. We knew it in the black community, like, okay, right, this conversation is going to happen. But the white people will always be like, oh, that's in Kansas or Oklahoma or wherever. It's not my backyard. And it's like, no, it really is. To the point where now it's so common to be like, hey, let's have a conversation. So these two shows to me were very iconic and putting forth that effort to have those conversations that people were not ready to talk about.
And I think it's like, I don't know. Give me a moment. Coach Scientist, you had something?
No. Does Nurse Joy have anything to add?
Okay. Yes, Quincy?
I would like to say, for me, what I feel like makes all four of the shows we're discussing, three or four shows that we're discussing, iconic. We say it all the time when we discuss Black television. We are not, as a people, a monolith. And I love the fact that each of these shows has so much diversity. Yes, they're all Black shows centered around Black families, but there is so much diversity in the Black community. And especially The Cosby Show and Black-ish did such a great job of showing just how diverse we as Black people are with the characters that are portrayed. So for me, that's something that definitely makes them all iconic, because for all the blurs out there that may not have seen somebody like yourself on television, well, now you can. For those who, you know, felt like you had to be hard and emotionless, and then you see somebody like you and you relate to them, and then you realize, hey, they have emotion, maybe I can have emotion as well. You know, it's good to have people like us in those writers' rooms, like Culture Scientist said on the last episode, so that we can have the diversity these shows deserve and that we as the viewers deserve.
And I agree. And I think that ultimately, I think I remember the point that I wanted to say is that with these shows, well, at least with the older ones, because to Mr. Smith's point that about those conversations not really be able to start, for a lot of people, these shows, if they were on major networks, which a lot of these were, and I don't want this to come off as negative, it made it palatable, it made it easier digestible for the masses to see and hear an issue and understand it and to receive it, where they may not, because of their ecosystem, what they're brought in, they would never see it. Because a lot of times in these conversations that we try to have, there's a lot of people who are like, I had no idea this was going on. Well, if you are in a bubble or you're in an incubator of a system where you don't have to experience or see these things because of where you live, where you grow up, where you go to school, and the experiences and the opportunities that you have, you would never realize that, oh, dealing with drug issues here or dealing with financial struggles here, having to stretch a dollar over like hell a week to make certain things happen, it made it very palatable for the masses to be able to see these things. And it's just, it helped people to learn about these things. And thankfully, with the shows like Black-ish and other more current shows, we're able to examine them and to dissect them and to understand, yes, listeners or person, yes, for lack of a better term, yes, white person or non-person of color, yes, we have been experiencing microaggressions and systematic racism long before it became a term. Yes, we have been dealing with critical race theory before we even had the term. This isn't something that came up because the orange man was in office. He's just the latest person in a long line of people who have benefited from it, and you're just now opening your eyes to it or being forced to look at it. But I'm not going to get on my soapbox.
See, this is why I know we are, you know, compatible, because I was essentially thinking along the same lines about, you know, these shows are, so for example, Blackish does a really good job of making all those dark, deep, like micro learning about microaggressions. They make it fun to learn about microaggressions,
right?
Because it's a funny show. But as you're watching it, I'm laughing because I understand it in a different manner, rather than my white counterpart is probably watching it for the first time, like, oh my gosh, why are you laughing at this? Oh, this is my life.
You know, the funniest thing?
This is normal.
Oh, I have a story to really pick it back off this. Listeners, I'm going to get this aside for just a moment. The culture scientist and I, a while back, when Jordan Peele came out with his first movie
Get Out.
And when we, first and foremost, shout out to Jordan Peele, and I'm looking forward to your next movie called Nope, which is probably one of the blackest names for a movie ever. But
is that how I'm going to feel about the movie? Nope.
Probably. We'll talk about it later. but within that, because we have representation and because there were things that the main character from Get Out experienced, I won't go into too much, but if you haven't seen Get Out by this point, you'd have missed the boat. But honestly, we were sitting in a theater. It was like us, maybe like a couple of black couples. I think it was like a Friday night. And there's this, I want to say white couple.
It was a young black couple on one side.
Like, yeah.
And then I think the young black couple was on your side.
Yeah.
And then the young, that was like an olderish, not old, but not our age.
Yeah, a little bit older than us at the time.
White couple.
Right. And literally, as we're seeing, oh, that's something that we experience or see in the black community all the time. We're like laughing, and the black couple to the side of us, they're kicking and
angry.
And giggling and getting angry and getting upset. It's just like, no, we get it. Like, you get it as much as we get it. But when I tell you, anytime we looked over at the white couple, I promise you, they're staring straight at the screen, not moving one inch.
I was like, it's okay to laugh. It's funny.
The thing is, the reason why someone may not laugh is because it's like, it's an uncomfortable truth that it's like the white allyship savior, or I would have voted for Obama a third time if he could have type of stuff. Those things resonate. And when you see in representation, you see in these platforms where they talk about those things where it's like, no, we have a platform now. You are going to be uncomfortable. Why? Like, we are 100% uncomfortable all the time. You want to be upset that, hey, this is outrageous. Why is this happening to this person? It's palpable for you to see it in a television show, but it's not palpable for you to see it in real life.
Right.
Make that make sense.
Please.
But we're not talking about that. So getting back to the shows is just, they not only have a job to express Black experiences, they also understand, at least the great ones, understand the responsibility to be role models. Like, if we looked at some of the best role models people talk about in television, at least to me, are in Black shows, because they know, just like any other Black person knows, for every one of us, if we make a mistake, the next 100 or 1,000 people are going to have to pay for that one mistake. So if they shuck and jive it up on the show, or they aren't pristine and genuine and transparent in their performances, it's going to show, and then that's going to be the representation to the masses, and then the next show is going to have to debunk that. Like, for every Love and Hip Hop, there has to be a Harlem, and then those other shows have to combat it. Yes, Mr. Smith.
And so I want to kind of just bring it full circle, because you brought up an excellent point. You said that for every, you know, for those types of shows, we need to be perfect, because if we mess up, then the next 100 are going to fail, right? Bring that to the Joe Rogan situation. If any Black person was to ever do some shit like that, and not take away the N-word part, but just like the misinformation and all that good stuff, there would be at least 1,000 podcasts that would suffer. But white people can fail upwards and continue to fail upwards. And this is now, listeners, this is just Mr. Smith. This is not the truth of transparency, full disclosure. In certain, I want to say, I guess, organizations, white people have a lot more opportunity to like learn on from their failures. They don't, you know, they might get the, okay, we're going to bring them into the office and, hey, Bob, so you know when you're supposed to turn this paper and you're supposed to flip it upside down, right? And then put it in, oh, my bad. And it could be like some confidential shit. Hey, just don't do that next time. Let a black person do that. You're brought in the office. Why the hell did you do this? This is wrong. You need to fix it. Next time you do this, you're fired. Like, point blank, period. So that is the perception and the reality that a lot of black people face, is that we have to be perfect. As if I may quote Daddy Pope from Scandal, what did I teach you? You have to be twice as good to get half of what they get. Again, you have to be twice as good as your counterparts to get half of what they get. That is what black people deal with every single day of their life. They have to be perfect in almost all aspects. We can't just be driving down the street and we could be drunk driving and all of a sudden, oh, my bad, officer, I didn't know that weed was in my car. Like, no, you're going to jail. But a white person do that? Oh, where'd you get this from? Tommy? That little kid. All right, go on about your way. Like, no, we don't get the same thing. So until that becomes the same situation, until we get people who might have a DUI and a white person might get 30 days, whereas a black person gets 100 years, that's what we're talking about, white people. So understand that.
And I know this conversation is kind of, it's grown and delved into a couple of different avenues that we may have not originally intended, but I do want to say that even though it may seem like we've gotten off track, there's a point to it, because with every show and every representation that we have, there are stories and history and lessons that are built, that these shows are built on. And for you to further understand why the weight of them are so heavy is because they got 100 plus years of experiences on their backs. So shout out to these black queens, black kings, these young black kings, young black queens, and everything in between. And we want to show that we appreciate them, because I honestly want to say shout out to the young actors who play the youth, because yes, it's very easy to ham it up as a kid to, oh, shucks, I know I took money, or I shouldn't have done this. No, they make real life issues and they experience real life things, and you feel them when they say these things. And why is because you have people who actually have gone through them, or know people who have gone through them. So it is an authenticity to their experiences. So as we kind of wrap things up, I want to make sure before we go any further, anybody like has any last quick thoughts? Yes, Queen C.
Since we are shouting out the youth actors, I also want to shout out the people around these young black actors, because Hollywood knows how to eat up child stars, no matter the race. But I can honestly say with our black child stars, more often than not, they have a pretty good transition into adulthood and, you know, furthering their career. So shout out to the teams around these young black actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Smith?
Shout out to the father on Everybody Hates Chris, because when you want to talk about financial literacy, I look at that man and be like, do I really need this? I don't really need this. Let me put this away. Because as brother and brother X, I listeners, he's not lying when he looks. We have been out at a bar and this man, I'd be like, all right, yeah, we got to go ahead and get ready to leave. And he'd be like, Mrs. Smith, there's $1.32 left in that car. You better drink that thing. I'm like, okay, yes, sir. Even though I paid for my drink, but oh, okay. But shout out to him. And then shout out to all of these shows for giving us, again, representation that's not just the struggle, but actually shows us in different lights and gives us hope as well as I guess, goals that we, or hope and a, I want to say a vision that we actually can see for ourselves that's been portrayed in media.
So as we bring this to a close, Coach Scientist, do you have anything?
I just wanted to say again, the reason why these shows are important is because it represents what other cultures are able to see. Mm-hmm. And there's other shows such as Fresh Off the Boat. There's other shows that touch on other cultures.
Right.
That I think are being, ABC in general, mm-hmm. I think they do a really good job of touching on all cultures. And I know we're talking about Black History Month, but I'm also a firm believer in, I'm a proud Black woman, but I am a believer in all is fair and for everybody. Everybody mm-hmm. should have fair game. We're all humans. So there should be fair game for everybody.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
So I like to also make sure I give fair game to our other brothers and sisters in arms.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some really good shows out there that are also folk that other people can see themselves into as well.
Yeah.
I guess George Lopez would be a start, but I don't want to be yelled at by my Hispanic friends. So I'm sorry, that is not a good example.
You know I'm going to get Lucy on you.
I will ask Lucy, but Lucy is different.
But shout out to Lucy. Shout out to our trainer. We gonna link up with you soon. But honestly, we want to go ahead and move into our transparent moment. So listeners, as you kind of continue to watch these shows, and we've talked about not only the ones here, but the previous week and the ones that come in these next upcoming weeks, because we got a couple more segments or parts to this series that we want to talk about. I want you to continue to take time. Like, if you are a little bit older and you have a family and there is show, or you want to try to teach your kids about Black experiences, take some time, have them watch some of these shows. They're one of the best things about the digital age that we're in now. Almost all these shows are able to be streamed on one platform or another. Or if you don't have it, you could there's someone who can get that to you. Or if you can't get the TV show, it's a crazy concept. But talking to Black people in a respectful manner and asking them about their experience and not doing the, oh, I had something similar, just shut up and listen and understand. And don't ask them to teach you all the time how to fix everything. Because if we could fix everything, don't you think we would have done that already and not still be experiencing it?
I mean, that's how, that's how, what they say, listen to your elders. Sometimes listening to a story,
mm-hmm.
you can get a lot out of a story. You can learn a lot from just listening and just trying to understand. You don't always have to be able to relate. I would say from our transparent moment,
mm-hmm.
see how you exude your Blackness
mm-hmm.
around others.
Okay.
How you teach your Blackness. Because to everybody, that's different. Some people like to fight the fight mm-hmm. and be a strong fighter, and some people don't. But it's all, my question is think about how these shows teach you to deal with these things
mm.
and how do you deal with it on a daily basis
mm.
and if that is working for you, cool beans. If it's not, see how perhaps spicing it up a little bit might do for you.
That's fair. Ms. Smith,
and just for the listeners to kind of like close out, if you want to watch these shows, The Cosby Show is on Prime. Blackish obviously is still going, so it's on YouTube, Amazon Prime, you name it.
It's gonna cost money.
It is. And then
or you can ask somebody to borrow their password. But we would never do that on the Super Transparency Podcast.
If you
want to
start it from the beginning.
Carry on.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And then Everybody Hates Chris, as well as Family Matters, is on Hulu. So those, we kind of took the homework away from you. If you want to watch those shows, those are the platforms that you can find them.
And again, to the Coach Scientist's point, if you want to hear more about our thoughts on what it means to be Black and Black experiences, definitely take a listen back to last February, our Blackity Black episodes, part 1, 2, and 3. Really great conversations from a lot of different perspectives. So definitely check those out if you want to have some further listening or homework to continue to understand where we're coming from and some of the experience we hadn't had the chance to speak on. But with that being said, we're actually going to go ahead and close things out. You can always check us out on, oh, I'm sorry. Let me thank our guests, Queen C and Nurse Joy. I appreciate Nurse Joy hanging out with us tonight. She had to leave a little bit early, take care of some things. Shout out to Queen C. She was able to get off her step stool for a little bit to kind of a conversation with us. no, that's not your job. All right, moving on. But we want to just thank you guys. Thank you always to Mrs. Smith with the sound bites and everything. We're going to go ahead and let you know you can check us out on Twitter at the TNT Pod 123. You can check us out on at Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And you can always email us with your experiences, some shows that you may have thought that we missed or you think would be good for another episode or topic. You can always email us at truthandtransparencypodcast123@gmail.com. And for our guests, for our sound engineer, for my co-host, and for myself, and to all of our listeners and supporters, if this podcast does not get any bigger than what it is right now, we are forever grateful. And with that being said, guys, we'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Misunderstood. Everybody thinks he's up to no good. Whenever he's around, things go wrong. The kid sticks out like a sore thumb. He thinks he's funny, but he sends people running. Even his family knows that he won't grow. The middle child growing up Brooklyn style. Things get complicated. No wonder he's so hated. Everybody hates Chris.